You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura with you on a football Thursday. Enjoy the fact that you're hanging out with us. Hey, the new Browns Nike summer collection just arrived. Stop into the team shop in downtown Cleveland at First Energy Stadium. And while you're there, check out the progress on all the renovation going on there. It's open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. 7 days a week, or shop online on the Browns mobile app or at shop.clevelandbrowns.com. It's Thursday, and this is the day that we like to play a little fact or fiction. Casey Kulis, our producer today, is going to hit us with some fact or fiction questions. Casey.
Fact or fiction.
Josh Gordon will rank in the top 20 players in the NFL's top 100 countdown.
And that was Jason Gibbs' voice, our other producer, our regular producer. Josh Gordon will rank, I'm going to say no, because I don't think, A, he's not going to play enough, and B, I think the offense is going to differ from the one that fed him more.
I think
frequently.
They're talking about the countdown, though, that's
year's
performance.
Misheard that then.
Yes.
All right. I not only got the name, got the guy whose voice was doing it, I set that up incorrectly.
It's the top 100 players from 2013. So Hayden was 39th. They're saying, well, we're going to be top 20 this year.
Yes, definitely. No question. Yeah. He may even – now, top 20. I don't know if he's going to be top 10. Top 20.
I think he's going to be top 20 as well. I think there's a chance that he is the highest-ranking wide receiver in the countdown this year. And if he is, Calvin's going to be there for his name. But if Gordon's near Calvin, he's going to be in the top 15. Okay. He has a chance to be top 10, but I'd say yes, top 20. I think that will be a fact.
Fact or fiction?
Connor Shaw will be the number 3 quarterback on the roster when the season starts September 7th.
I'm going to say fact on that one. I think he showed me enough in the way of progress. He's still got a ways to go, but I think Tyler Thigpen of the four has probably had the most consistent struggles, if that's the way to put it. And I think Shaw just looks like we know the obvious upside is there, but I think if you had to say progress, and his progress wasn't overwhelming to even change the conversation of who the top two are, but enough to be number 3, yes.
I hope so. If there's any, you know, to my eye, absolutely, I'm going with Connor Shaw. Because number one, in many ways, you know what you're getting out of Tyler Thigpen. And Tyler Thigpen, to me, is a guy who's been around, a little bit of a journeyman, as it were. He had that one good stretch with the Kansas City Chiefs a few years ago where he actually came in and seemed like a very good quarterback over the second half of the 2008 season. Yes, that was back in 2008. That year he threw for 2,608 yards, 18 touchdowns, ran for 386 and 3 touchdowns. Well, since then, in the seasons 2009, 2010, 2011, and 2012, he's thrown exactly 3 touchdowns since then. He's thrown 5 interceptions since then. Has not been a factor. And these were on teams that were looking for quarterbacks. Miami was looking for a quarterback in 2010. That was pre-Tannehill. Buffalo looking for a quarterback in 2011. Never got a shot. And even in 2012, didn't get a shot on a team that was struggling to find anybody to play quarterback when E.J. Manuel was down. I'm not getting Thiggy with it. I think that you're better off investing in a young guy like Connor Shaw, who fits what you want to do ultimately as a backup behind Johnny Manziel if you're looking, you know, deep into the future. Connor Shaw has a lot of heart. He's a competitor. You heard it from our interview earlier today with him. The winningest quarterback in South Carolina history, never lost at home in the SEC, I believe compiled a record of 27-5 as a starting quarterback in college. I like Connor Shaw. There's an intangible to him that I like. I think over time in an NFL strength and conditioning program, and maybe with improved mechanics, he can increase his arm strength a little bit. That's the only thing that I think is missing from Connor Shaw. And if he can do that, I think he's going to be a very valuable backup quarterback in the National Football League for a very long time because he's a winner, he's a competitor, and he's a great young man. And I really like Connor Shaw. So, yes, long-winded way of saying fact, I think he'll be the number 3 quarterback, or at least that's what I would like to see happen.
Fact or fiction?
An arbitrator will rule Jimmy Graham to be a tight end and not a wide receiver.
I think that's fact, and I know the NFL has brought in some current and former executives, actually some former club executives also who have worked at the league level who have also been involved intimately with the collective bargaining agreement process through the years, who have a lot of historic perspective on this particular subject. And I think with that thorough analysis and and evidence brought into it, I don't think the fundamental change of the position is going to become is going to come there. Look, I understand the stat that says he's been flanked out more at a, as a receiver. The percentage of time is an overwhelming stat, but that's the choice of a club strategically. I don't like the idea of fundamentally changing the designation of a position. A team has a right to call a guy what his position is, number one, and number two, to operate accordingly. You had the Jacksonville Jaguars call Denard Robinson, who came to them as a quarterback from Michigan, the
offensive weapon
last year. Well, guess what? This year he's just a backup running back to Toby Gerhardt because that all got askew. He didn't really do much as an offensive weapon. He's better defined as a running back and a backup at that for this year. I don't think it's any different when you're trying to define what a tight end is because you're moving him out to create mismatches. You have the right to do. You take Jordan Cameron, you can take anybody. They can start out as a tight end. They may motion into different spots that are true tight end-like. So based on the percentage of the time that they move him somewhere else to create a coverage mismatch does not to me mean that as a team or as a league, you've got to re-identify a position for the sake of a higher designation financially. If you want to, you know, if this is all about just kicking up the number of the tight end position, the dollar number, I mean, he sits down and gets to negotiate a deal, and his productivity will come through. If he's the top paid tight end, he's a top paid tight end. I think when you start getting in the receiver conversation, do I see him as a, quote, better wide receiver than Calvin Johnson or Josh Gordon right now? I don't. I think he's an amazing player and an amazing tight end who's got that tight end skill as a pass catcher. I want to leave him there.
Yeah, it comes down to the semantics of where the guy's lined up. You're flexed out wide, so are you technically a tight end if you're lined up in the slot, you know, 50% of the time or the majority of the time? If Jared Cook didn't win it the season that he was lined up as a receiver, flexed out 81% of the time for the Tennessee Titans, I don't think Jimmy Graham is going to win it. And I know that was ended up being dropped, I think, ultimately by Jared Cook. I don't think it's going to happen. I just don't see it happening. I don't think the NFL wants it to happen. Which is another reason, because they don't want to open up that can of worms and have to deal with this with every tight end. Teams don't want it to happen because then you might be giving up a competitive advantage that you can get by motioning a tight end into the slot because you're afraid of putting them there too often that you would have to then ultimately pay them as wide receivers. It's a money issue. I think Jimmy Graham is worth a lot of money. I think he should be probably the highest paid tight end in the league, or certainly right there with guys like Vernon Davis, Rob Gronkowski. But he's a tight end. That's why he ends up in those mismatches. He's a tight end, and I know the one game they actually put a corner all over him, Aqib Talib, back to your guy Aqib Talib, that game against when the New Orleans Saints took on the New England Patriots last year. They had Aqib Talib on Jimmy Graham, and I'm pretty sure Jimmy Graham came out of that game without a catch.
Yeah. So again, I Jimmy Graham's a great talent. This will not sway my view of him as a highly impactful tight end. And in my book, the two best in the game are Jimmy Graham and Rob Gronkowski. I think Rob, and I'm a little partial to Rob, just knowing him longer and closer and
sure,
better, but I also put all that aside. His completeness makes him even more amazing. What he can do as a receiver is complemented by what he can also do as a blocker in the truest tight end form of a blocker that he lends so much to that game. Jimmy Graham, obviously much more pure pass catcher style of athlete, but the fact that he starts a formation at that spot, the fact that you game plan against the Saints offense with the thought that he's the tight end in addition to the receivers you deal with and the running back you deal with and so forth and the line, makes it an advantage for the team to have that designation. And again, if you're going to call him a receiver for the sake of money, but ultimately line him up or start the formation with him at tight end, that bothers me. I got a problem with that. I'm not wanting this guy to be screwed out of a dime. I want him to get all the money he can possibly get. And if he, and I think he does deserve to be in the Saints, if they agree to make him the highest paid tight end ever, do that. Jimmy Graham, be happy with that. This doesn't need to turn into a revolutionizing of the defined spot in the categories of franchise tags and et cetera.
Just think about it this way too. Jimmy Graham is a tight end who sometimes plays the role of a wide receiver. Calvin Johnson never lines up in line as an inline blocking tight end ever. Calvin Johnson's a big, strong receiver. He never lines up as a tight end. So to me, once you line up for a tight end a little bit, you are a tight end. And Jimmy Graham is a tight end. He's not a wide receiver. He's a tight end who dabbles some in wide receiver, but he's a hybrid tight end. Wide receivers, Josh Gordon never lines up as an inline tight end. A.J. Green never lines up as an inline tight end. Julio Jones, Calvin, Demaryius Thomas, the list goes on and on. They just don't play that position. That's it, period.
Exactly.
Fact or fiction?
A year from now, the Washington Redskins will have a new nickname.
I'm going to say fiction. I think their owner is so steadfast, and I think Daniel Snyder will continue to own this team next, you know, in the foreseeable future. What's he had it? I think 16 years already. I think 14 or 16 years, something like that. He's into the teens in ownership, and he is going to not let this go as long as this team is his. I understand with this patent decision that's been made on, or trademark decision that's been made on the Redskin name, that now opens the door for others to profit from using the logo and using the name on merchandise. Ironically, if the whole, I got to throw something out there, because the whole idea of this is to pressure the Redskins so that money, they're not seeing, realizing the fullest amount of money from NFL licensed merchandise, and that this will take money away from the 30 other teams that share that. Dallas is not one of them. So it's 30 other NFL teams, including the Browns, that share in the collective revenue of merchandising and such. They split it 31 ways with the Redskins. Well, the ironic twist to this is the government, in its desire to force the Redskins to change their nickname because of how it's offended certain parties, individuals who have, and groups that have put forth the challenge to this, they may in fact create a larger market for Redskins, for merchandise that has that name on it, because now it's the Wild West. It's free. People are free to go and okay, let's produce, because companies held back when they had to pay those licensing fees to the NFL. Sure. To sell more. Think about this. They, in fact, might have opened up, because you're going to still have the, quote, NFL market that's there, the defined, designated, labeled NFL market. And now Joe Schlabatz, from Chantilly, Virginia, can produce his share of Redskins merchandise as well. So can James Schlabatz.
The market, that's right.
They happen to be very good. They put together some nice dry fit T-shirts, but no.
I don't think it's going anywhere either. I would say that it's fiction that they're going to change it. I don't.
Isn't
think
that
Daniel
ironic
Snyder
though that there's
going to
be more
it?
Stuff
yes,
out there?
Of course.
With the name that they don't want.
Because sometimes things that in theory seem smart, in practice and in reality are not. But I think that the Redskins' name, for good or bad, is going to stay with the Washington Football Club.
So that's
there it
that.
Is. So there it is, fact or fiction. A big one. All right, and we're going to come back with another big segment as we wrap up or take a look at the linebacker position. We're going to go through the inside linebackers, the outside linebackers, look at the depth there, the position battles for you, the fan, to keep an eye on come training camp. Zagura, Carucci, CBD, ESPN 850, WKNR.